Good day, everybody. Straight Talk America News. This is Peretz B. Eichler. As you may have noticed, world markets are entering a correction territory, and the federal government interest rates are saying that they're about to be raised for the first time in 7 years. We are, by all standards, by all experts, in a time of economic turmoil and instability. Somebody who's very concerned about that and who actually not only talks about it but does something about it is our good friend Dovi Honig. Dovi Honig is the CEO of Parnassa Expo and the Parnassa Network. And he is concerned enough about it to have written an article and to have sounded the alarm for our community in particular to beware of the things that are going on and to recognize what our responsibility is. So it's not just a matter of stocks and stock markets, but at this time of year, taking stock of ourselves and how we perceive what we do with money or money that we might not have and how we are living. So, Dovi Honig, tell us what you wrote and what you feel that everybody needs to be aware of and what we need to do in the current state of instability in the economy.
Peretz, thank you, first of all, for having me on the show, and it's a great show. The message, what I would like to share with our community and with the people as a general, I wrote last Sunday, I wrote a report on the economy before the Monday morning's stock fluctuations of the market was down the largest in history, 1,000 points, throughout the day. Apparently, watching the markets and feeling with, what's happening in the economy is to feel a correction of the market entering correction territory is just in the air. A while ago, the markets kept on fluctuating with the Greece, if they were exiting the euro, if people were following it, and they were possibly going to go, go bust. They closed their banks, and the market was bouncing back and forth. And this is going back to 2008 when the market fluctuated. I remember once 700 points, with a flash sale because there was a word about Greece, and it's moving the markets ever since 2008. And it's just finally now they're settling, restructuring the loans. And I'm watching it, and all of a sudden China's coming out, and they're starting to speak about China's market in June. Erased 30% of the market value, the whole stock market, it got erased 30%. At this point, we're close to 50% of down to the year what the market in China sold off. Now, Greece is maybe, I would say, not even a 1% of what China is to America, how our markets were reliant on China in the past decade. America really is very tight and interconnected. As you see, Alibaba just came out last year, and the biggest IPO in the history of the stock market with Alibaba as a company, what people manufacture things in China and for the United States and other countries, the world's reliant on China. By China's markets being such instability and wiping out so much money, and last week a report came out that the manufacturing in China is in a 77-month low, meaning to say that they're contracting. Now that's like a tsunami. I mean, the ripple effect for America is much, much, much greater than this Greece. So it was just like a kal v'chaimer. Why are you talking about Greece and shifting when China just crashed in June? And like you're still focusing on Greece. It's like, hello, there's a line. What are you afraid of a cat? So eventually the markets finished with Greece, and China's really creating a lot of waves. Now, taking that further, a step is watching as of last the end of before last Monday, the markets erased $1 trillion from blue chips. I would say just Apple alone went down to $106 stock from 136 high. What was just like a month before that? That's basically erasing $158 billion of wealth alone from Apple stock, what's equivalent to the value of Pepsi Cola on the whole stock market. Just to give you a picture of what's going on. But the real concern over here is is that the whole world economy is $77 trillion. Now, $10 trillion of that money is right now is erased. You have $2 trillion erased from coal companies. What Obama was very actively involved in that of saying it damages the environment and the companies wiped out. You have another $2 trillion of shale oil. What oil is made out of sands? What was banks finance all this money? That's the biggest concern. That the Saudis are pumping oil because they don't want to lose their market share. What's causing these shale companies to go bust and all over the United States and other places in Canada, because it's much more expensive to produce shale oil. But if oil is $100 a barrel, so it costs them $60 opposed to the $15-$20 it costs Saudis to pump out their oil. But if oil is at $40, they're losing every barrel $20. So eventually they're going to go bust, but the Saudis could afford to hold it out and gain their market share.
It means that all of us will be kind of held over the barrel, as it were. So in terms of what it means to us at home, I mean, you're painting a very interesting global picture, which...
My biggest point over here is that all this is money from banks and others that we're invested in. Now, to just give you another point of another $2 trillion with the stock market invested monies in foreign currencies. Foreign currency trade is mean we gave money to Brazil, we gave money to Turkey, we the stock market invested monies in foreign currencies. Now, based on that, they're supposed to get a higher return from those currencies in return and make a profit on the dollar. But now that China went last week and intentionally 2 weeks ago lowered their currency directly through government twice, what's not fair market value, it's what the government did, but mixing into the markets, what is not politically businessly right, tampering with their currency to lower it to be able to make it more attractive for foreign trade and to be able to get more business and generate more manufacturing because it's cheaper to buy there. So it's, and order from there because you get more for your dollar or more from your other currency. But them weakening their currency, it really created a currency war. Now other countries are also lowering their currencies or gets weakened. Even the Russian ruble, it's at its all time low. It went down maybe 70% close to that this year in value because the whole ruble is based on the dollar, not on gold. Is based on oil, I'm sorry, and oil is very very cheap now, so their currency, they're eating up all their reserves, and they ate up a third of their reserves this year alone. They had a few $100 billion of reserves throughout the past few years when oil was high, and Russia's, basically, I think they threw $200 billion already. So the currency also depreciated, but taking countries who the stock market is exposed to a few $1 trillion of funding, Turkey and Brazil, and Brazil's currency is also down like I think over 50% since then. So that means even if the U.S. stock market is getting a return for the currency, because since the return of the interest is in foreign currency, even if they're giving us like 50% on the money, we're still back to a loss because their currency is worth so much less. So by currencies depreciating, the United States is losing business, we're less attractive. At the same time, we're losing exports, we're losing value of trade. I mean, there's so much of big companies. If you look at the airlines, they're doing record sales, but they're reporting, even though oil went down, but they're reporting, that they're being hurt from Europe and other places because the dollar is so strong. So they're losing, they're losing a lot of money through currency, other currencies being, so much weaker. So that's a big, another exposure of a few $1 trillion, from the markets. And then a very big eye opener is that usually when oil goes cheaper, the market feels through reports that people are reinvesting in the economy and they're spending the money on extras. And that's not the case now. The reports are showing that people are holding on to the extra money they're saving on oils and gasoline, and they're not spending it extra, throwing it back out in the streets and the economy. So people are still, like, you know, cautious from the 2008 crash, and people aren't just going out and spending as they used to. So Walmart stock got hurt from that now recently. So what we're seeing over here really is healthy contractions. We're seeing the dust settling. We're seeing, but at the same time, we're seeing a from $77 trillion world economy, $10 trillion of it being wiped out through banks or values, because all these monies we're saying are funded from banks and Wall Street, and et cetera, et cetera. Besides the trillions of dollars of Chinese economy we got wiped out from desktop value. But for the U.S. economy itself, our exposure is really from the manufacturing, from the stronger dollar, you know, businesses, trade, from embargoes with other countries, you know, at the same time, you know, the biggest thing is interest rates, what are going to be raised. And that's a big point I would like to focus on a second.
Yeah, you mentioned, David, you said that holding on to long zero interest rate, that type of policy, was like keeping training wheels on a child's bike until they can drive a 26-inch bike. I mean, it could be quite a ways between the child on training wheels and getting to a 26-inch bike.
Correct. I wrote that in my article. I'm very concerned about the interest rates being raised, because I don't recall, and I did you know, a little research, but in the near, in the past, for sure not, that there was ever a time that we held close to a decade the economy on zero interest rates. It was needed. It had to be done, yes. But the repercussions of balloons bursting is something that we can't even, you know, comprehend. Because as I wrote in the article, is that it's like keeping a child on training wheels until he's driving a 26-inch bike. Is exactly the case. You can't hold someone's hand for so long, because what happens is, for example, right now interest rates are zero, so money's cheap, free, right? That means that people borrow money, they get loans, they run business, they start businesses based on the profit, you know, people buy real estate based on what, you know, X amount of payments, what they could afford, what gets the price gets set based on the payments they can make. So let's say a private property would be worth $350,000, a house, because someone could afford to make payments with zero interest rates for $1,800 a month with taxes, you know, but the second rates go up, payments go up, so you can't afford that much. The price of the property goes down to $250,000, $220,000, so the person who pays, if he loses $180,000, and the value depreciates, and that's how a bubble bursts. Now, times this by who knows how much, when people are buying commercial buildings, what are based on rent rolls, based on mortgages, what have to be refinanced every 5 years. Now, commercial real estate is not like residential, so you have to refinance every 5 years. So if the rates go up even gradually over the past few years, but when you have to refinance that $3, $4, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100 million building, you know, what's the builder bringing in? 10%, 20% of at the end of what your down payment was, not of the whole value of the building. So let's say the building's worth $10 million, and you put in you put $1 million deposit or $2 million, right, and you're getting a 10% return. If you're lucky, that's $100,000, the whole profit for the $10 million building. So if interest rates goes up and it eats into you $50,000, $60,000, you know, by the time you're done with other things that increase with interest rates and insurances and everything, you're going to be in the red, even though you were making money to begin with. So the price of the value of the property goes down substantially, because it's not bringing in as much income, return. And that's really where the bubble bursts in real estate and businesses, and value for the whole economy over the past 8 to 10 years is going to decrease. And that's why every time they discuss if the rates are going up, the whole market swings like crazy, because it's going to hurt businesses. It's going to bust bubbles right and left. And people who didn't stabilize themselves in a way, you know, it didn't take the time, and this Shavi Mei Soiva, as you see by Parai, you know, that to get ready for, I'm not saying Shavi Mei Rov, that'll be 7 years of hunger, but it is definitely down to earth, where everything's just like coming back, because when you're coming from nowhere, everything grows. When the market was wiped out, the economy was wiped out, yes, we rebuilt real estate, stocks, everything, you know, built itself up, but at one point, you know, now we're contracting, you know, it peaked, and people have to, and this is the whole, the reason I'm on the phone now, on the, you know, speaking to you and the listeners, is to give over a message that people should take inventory and secure themselves. They should, it shouldn't be like the last crash, you know, because first of all, real estate is no question about a bubble. You know, people are rushing to buy properties and housing because it's zero interest rates. So they're buying it, but they don't realize when they want to resell it, interest rates are going to be higher, so the payments are going to be higher, so the value is going to depreciate. So by them paying a smaller payment now, they're going to be losing money, not be able to sell the house. Of course, they're going to have to take a loss. The value is going to depreciate. Then you have people who are flipping commercial buildings or bigger, or, you know, things because rates are low, so it's showing a higher return. Then so they sell it for more, but the second the rates go up, the person who bought it won't be able to get as much money for it. But more than so is these people are going and they rush to take this money and they want to do 1031 exchange. They don't want to pay taxes, right? So they can take the money. The guy made $1 million on the deal and he's going to overpay for another piece of real estate because he doesn't want to pay taxes. What could be 30, 40, 50%? I don't know. It depends on his tax bracket. So he's going to overpay for other properties with this money, what causes pricing to go up in other real estate places, but what is not really justified for the property itself. So at the end of the day, the second the gold rush of zero interest rates falls, you know, collapses, you know, it's going to be more expensive for us to be, you know, to be able to maintain our lifestyle, to be able to maintain, you know, money is going to be more expensive. I mean, if you look at the whole American model of today's people is that a person can live like in a $2 million house, drive a Lexus, and wear Gucci belts and clothing, but he's a pauper. He doesn't even own the shirt on his back. Of course, you take it apart. The house is mortgaged out to Kazoo. His car is leased. His clothing's on his credit card. Well, his credit card, he's paying 0.1 or 0% interest. All those things are about to change. And that's how we fell on our face, you know, by the last, you know, when the last bubble burst. Or at this point, you know, we have to focus on things are falling, you know, the contractions, things are coming back to normal, the economy, it is going to move around the stocks. I mean, things aren't just up, up, up. I'm looking at so many stocks, I can tell you one after another, which went down 80, 90% of so many different industries since the highs. Even look at 3D printers. It was $160 the stocks, and now it's $30. Look at coal. Coal was $60 to dollar, $2. Oil, $120 last year, $110 a year ago. Now it's $38, $42, $43. And in huge amount of companies, where you look at copper, you look at mining, the biggest miners in the world, $36. Now it's $10. I mean, there's so many industries where you see already the weakness, but you're talking about depreciating by 80-90% of the value. So the real estate is going to come, is going to hit a patch over here. The wheeling dealing, the free cheap money, interest rates is a big concern, and I'm petrified. I don't know. You know, I think businesses who have loans, or real estate properties, buildings, and things they own, houses people own, cars, everything is going up. It's going to be more expensive. Money's not going to be as cheap, but if people have jobs, if people have a business, yes, they can sustain all this, but they have to take the time now to stabilize themselves, and that's really my concern now. Is I want to voice to all the listeners that take a moment, you know, organize yourself. Look at your mortgage. Is it affordable? Yes. Are you spending extra? Budget. Make sure that the first thing you know is you're paying your mortgage every month. Make sure you can afford your car. Make sure you can afford your food. Make sure you can afford tuition. All those extras. Slow down. You know, restructure your life this year. Baruch Hashem, the past few years, everything was going up, 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 up. But at this point, you know, reality is kicking in, is hurting. And I wrote this article before the market fluctuated 1,000 points, so Peretz, if you see when it was written. It was written Sunday, the day before.
Yeah, very prescient, very prescient, as always, Avim, your insight is there. So you've given us this insight, and to a lot of people, this you know, this suggests that there is a chaotic mode that's going on, but you say the dust is settling, and the bottom line is, you know, we're going into Rosh Hashanah, where everybody's lives are on the line. It's not just a matter of, you know, let's make a deal and ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu just to get us, you know, the best economy possible. We want to make sure, first of all, that we're going to live, and we're, you know, we're begging the Melech that we should have life. You're saying we have to reevaluate, you know, where we are, what we're doing, where we're going, and really try and get our lives back in some type of control off, you know, off the credit mode. So in essence, though, your advice to our community, aside from, you know, the trillions and billions of dollars, which most people kind of really don't relate to, the average Yossi and the Rebbetzin, the guy that's out there in Kollel going into his first job, the people that are, you know, trying to make their mortgage payments, everybody who's really, you know, struggling, whatever level they're at, what is your advice to us, and in order to help us understand how we have to grasp this, what are you recommending?
I think at this point, everyone should really try to anchor themselves. Sit down and anchor themselves and see what's a necessity and what's a luxury. How much do I have extra for luxury? What do I have? What don't I need? What do I have? Because cheap credit cards, cheap loans, cheap housing loans, cheap car leases, cheap mortgages, 0%, it all adds up, you know? And it's not, you know, the free money and the easy money, you know, it's not going to be as easy to, you know, and it, things are already contracting. So besides that, the money is not going to be as cheap, and the loans, you know, I think we have to shift our lifestyle, not to live on financing, but to live on what we have. And that's really what I feel, you know, even when the economy burst over here, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, the economy was going up, it was the only place. And you know what? In Eretz Yisrael, people owned the apartments, they owned the houses, they owned the shirts they wear. I mean, yeah, people use credit cards. But America, you don't own your house, you don't own your car, you don't own your clothing, you don't own your shirts, you don't own the money, you everything's borrowed, but our whole mentality is built on finance, built on debt. And I think we're capable with, since so many years of stability, that whatever we do have from income or from or savings or whatever, is that we should make sure that if something does go south or things tighten up, that we focusing now and taking the extra $100,000 and putting it in a stock what went lower or something, would save that cushion money to be able to know that you could stabilize yourself in case, you know, stabilize your mortgage payments, stabilize your basic staples that you should be able to function even, you know, if things, you know, if things aren't as easy this year, you know, or just get more realistic, you know, reality. You don't have to go into depression for stocks not to shoot up. You're talking about going from 6,000 to 18,000 Dow Jones. You're talking about, you know, because the last time the economy came back, it came back from a low, and then it went up, it grew healthy. So it was a double jump, you know, it got knocked down, it came to where it was, and it grew, you know, but at this point, you know, you don't have such a jump every day in the market or real estate coming back and things. And we're gonna have contractions. I mean, you know, money is not gonna be cheap. More interest rates are gonna go up, and that's why if you watch the market, you see how it's panicking. You know, we don't know which bubbles it's gonna burst. But I do know is that, you know, people have to know and look into how it's gonna affect them, and change the whole approach of living on borrowed money, you know, as much as they can.
All right, Dovi Honig, thank you very much for sharing that with us. I'm sure we're gonna hear more about this. And again, Dovi Honig, the CEO of Parnassa Network, Parnassa Expo, of which we'll talk about at another time, and to see how they are both going to contribute to stabilizing not only the economy in general, but how it's going to affect each and every one of us, because really, that's what it's all about. Dovi Honig, thank you for joining me right here on Straight Talk America News.
Thank you. Okay.